gonna spit out some sports talk.
Oh, what the fuck? Oh, it's a remix. My bad.
That's cool. That's cool.
Oh, that's not the right one, dude.
No, that sounds about right. That's okay. Cool.
You like that?
Yeah.
Alright.
That's a good intro. That's for the first one. Trying to get things going. See how this sounds.
Oh, man. I just like cut it off right away, dude. Man, I feel like a jackass now. Well, this is San Diego Sports Talk Radio, live from Paul's Garage. We are your hosts. We got Paul here, and
I got Fernando over here.
And this is our first podcast. Definitely, definitely developing.
Yeah.
As you can hear, the beginning.
I guess we kick it off with
a premature
All-Star game. It looks like it's the final national kick butt, 8-0. I didn't watch the whole game, but the first few innings I saw, the National League just looked like they were just, you know, swinging, you know, hitting pretty good. They were playing really good defense. I noticed in the American League, they were taking advantage of Bautista in right field because he sucked, dude.
Was he slow?
They hit the ball out to him, and he overran them. And then, you know, when the ball hits the wall, you can kind of set it up to where you let the ball come to you.
Yeah.
But the ball would hit the wall, and the ball would just go past him, and you have to run back into the field. And so, yeah, they took advantage of Bautista not being a good defender. And National League got some triples because of that. And so... National League looked pretty good, man. On paper, looked like the American League was going to dominate, but...
You know, and the All-Star game itself is kind of losing, like, its luster, like, these past few years, you know? Because I've been really into the All-Star game, but recently it's kind of been like, eh. I mean, we all know what's on the line for the end of the game is the home field advantage. But if your team is, like our team, the Padres, does it really matter?
Yeah, I know.
You know,
yeah,
and our only player is Hudson Street.
Yeah, Houston Street, and he's it's only because Padres have Petco Park and all their pitchers have great stats. Padres have a tradition of sending the closer, so he was kind of like the default guy, you know, from the Padres.
Like they had to just put somebody in there just to please us.
You know, but I was surprised. The National League surprised me. Five but you're minutes, right, yeah. Man. All-Star game's losing its luster, and they try to kind of build some controversy from the home run derby because the captains of each team they pick the players that are gonna participate.
Yeah, pass that hookah, man. Pass that hookah.
Yeah,
puff puff.
And I guess for the American League, Cano picked himself over the Kansas City guy, Butler, and then Cano went out and got zero home runs. And so when he came out today, he got booed, like, handedly by the Kansas City fans.
Well, it wasn't even that I heard that on the Dan Patrick show this earlier today when I was changing the oil in the car. Yeah, Dan Patrick was like, that's unacceptable. You know, as baseball fans, we should have respect, you know, amongst our players. And, you know, he's a good guy, Cano. Like, you know, he's a all-American good guy. I'm like, get out the dude's dick, man. Like,
yeah.
Choking up already? Cause,
yeah, I know.
I mean, come on, dude. I mean, KC does not win anything. At least pick a player to be in a home run derby.
Yeah.
Because, you know, most of the time, those power hitters that come in their first year, even in the home run derby, they get like one or two because they don't know how to hit the ball. You know, they use all their strength early. Like, yeah. I think Adrian Gonzalez, when the first year he did it, he kind of only hit like a couple home runs and he kind of tired himself out. And then the following year, he did better.
Yeah. Because
he knew how to control it and how to take his time. So, I mean, it wouldn't hurt to put a KC guy in there.
Yeah.
You know, Butler, especially.
You know.
And, you know, he deserves to get booed because he's from the Yankees, all right?
Yeah.
That part is true. You know, nobody likes the Yankees unless you're a Yankee fan. That's obvious.
Yeah. I was going to say, but Cano won it last year, right? And that's why he put himself in. Yeah, he wanted to defend his title, but... Yeah, the fans had a right to boo and want their guy to be in.
They're the hometown.
Come on. Yeah. And, you know, to me, it sounded like they were just trying to hype up the game by kind of picking out some controversy and talking about the game. And that's fine because you're right, you know. And it's not just baseball's All-Star game. It's pretty much every sport All-Star game seems to be just like an exhibition. Kind of just goes by, not a lot of people pay attention. But baseball, they try to make some kind of they try to make it important by making, okay, the winner gets the home field advantage. And kind of sort of worked a little bit because it seemed like it was popular enough. I'm curious to see what the ratings are this year, but this is actually the first year I've watched some of it in a while.
The last one I watched was when Adrian was on the team, when he was on the Padres,
Oh
obviously.
yeah.
But after that, I was kind of like, "Meh, my player's not in there. I don't want to watch it." But yeah, that goes a lot for like, why the ratings are mainly from New York and Boston, the
Yeah.
popular regions, which is understandable because they're big baseball organizations. So they have a lot of people in the
Yeah.
crowds. They obviously travel. And San Diego is a Navy town, which
Yeah.
I'm like 26 years old, and I just realized like a year ago that while we have so many different fans, it makes so much sense now because we're a
Yeah.
fucking Navy town.
Yeah.
Everybody comes here on a, visit, and then all of a sudden they want to live here because it's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you go to a game here in San Diego, and a lot of the time you'll have more fans from the opposing team, or at least half, or a good amount. And yeah, it doesn't feel like a home game sometimes, especially the Giant games and the Dodger games. Yeah, and it's not just baseball, it's football. You go to a Charger game when they play Green Bay, there's a ton of Green Bay fans here. I think last year when they came by.
Green Bay has fans from the medieval times. Fuck, man.
Yeah,
They've been playing forever.
yeah.
Chargers were created, what, in LA, and that was in 1960s? 1950s, 60s?
Yeah, Chargers came over in the 60s.
So we're one of the expansion teams.
Yeah,
Well, at least we're not as bad as Jacksonville.
Well,
Jacksonville's getting the worst end of it right now.
yeah.
They definitely want to move that football team out of there. There's no fucking money in it right now for them.
Yeah,
And we're part of that talk to going to LA is San Diego, Jacksonville. I heard even Tampa Bay, which doesn't make any sense. Well, it kind of does because you already have Miami.
yeah.
But I think Tampa Bay, you already won a Super Bowl. Why would you want to move, dude?
Yeah.
You established your presence.
I think last I heard, it's Chargers, St. Louis, and Oakland are the three most likely to move. And it now looks like it's not just going to be one team, but two teams. And, I hate to say it, but it doesn't seem like the Chargers are going to get their stadium in San Diego. Unless some kind of miracle happens and the two mayor candidates somehow completely change their minds on how they want to fund that stadium. But it looks like,
It's not even gonna come
apparently
through right now, huh?
the guy that's one of the mayor candidates, DeMaio, he seems to be like he might change his tone and might want to be a little bit more pro Charger, in the sense that he'll be willing to negotiate and at least put something up for like a public vote. But even in a public vote, it's gonna have to be a big chunk of it's gonna have to be private funding. I mean, the Charger owners are gonna have to show that they're willing to invest a lot of their own personal money. That way they'll show the San Diego citizens that, they're not just in it to make profit off of the city, that they're gonna invest a lot of money of their own money into it. And that's really the only way that they're gonna get a stadium passed here.
Not to jump, well, I want to kind of jump back to the baseball,
Yeah.
on our fans. Well, this past weekend, I went to, it's a daiquiri place over in downtown, Wet Willie's.
Oh
I went over there to
yeah.
watch the UFC fight, and, it's Saturday, so you go downtown San Diego, there's always traffic, and I got down there like around 6 o'clock. The fight starts at 7, and fuck, man, there was traffic everywhere, dude.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh shit, the Padres are playing, that's why. And then it came to
Oh.
another n acknowledgement that I was like, wait a minute, we're not good right now. Why is there so many fucking cars? I see a bunch of
Well,
Cincinnati fans, dude.
oh yeah, Cincinnati
So I was
fans.
like, man, all this parking, we had to park far, dude. We had to park all the way at the
But
mall and just walk over.
Add to that, though, is Saturday, the Padres were still in the 6-game winning streak. So they were starting to build some kind of, like, you know, a little bubble of excitement. But, yeah, that ended quick, dude. They lost 3 out of 4 to the Reds. So, but and then that six-game winning streak, the guy, that rookie they had just called up, Grandal, hit a couple home runs.
Yeah.
The new middle infielders, Amarista and Edward Cabrera, were doing great. Logan Forsythe was hitting some clutch home runs, who's also a second baseman. They've been doing some really exciting baseball lately, until they just lost those last 3 in a row to the Reds. But up until then, they were playing exciting baseball, and so I think that Saturday, I could see why there was a lot of traffic. Not just Red fans, but there were some excited Padre fans out there, too.
And at that point, we were in, not in last place, we were in fourth, right?
Fourth. Now we're tied. Can't believe that shit, dude. Tied for last now. But,
yeah, and who's behind us, or tied with us, Colorado?
Colorado,
which has never been really, well, I mean, they had a couple good years, but we all knew that's not going to last.
Yeah, they had that one year where they were good.
They had a bunch of pitchers. That was the main part why they were good.
Yeah.
They actually had pitchers.
Pitchers, but there was that one year where they weren't doing great, and then once the All-Star break happened, they all of a sudden won like some kind of record amount of games in a row. Like, it was just insane. And that was the year the Padres were good, and then the Rockies just came back and won the division out of nowhere.
And I don't even want to go way back either and fucking remind me of that playing game that we had. And who blew it again?
Yeah, Trevor Hoffman.
Poor guy, man. You know what? You know, I'm a San Diego. You know, we're all San Diego fans here. This is San Diego Sports Talk Radio, by the way. Yeah. I'm Boston, New York.
Yeah.
But I love Hoffman. I think at one point he should go into the Hall of Fame. It's not only because of what he's done for the Padres, but even off the field. All around, he's been a good guy. Even when he went to the Brewers for a couple years, he did pretty good there too. But, of course, he'll be compared to number one closer of all time, Mariano Rivera.
Yeah.
And he's got the rings. And, you know, does that really establish even – do you think he has a chance to get in the Hall of Fame? Like, if Mariano Rivera was in a ballot now, coming up, would he get in right away or would it take a couple years?
Nah.
Depending on who's on the ballot, like, every other year.
Mariano, I would say definitely first ballot Hall of Famer. If he's not a first ballot, then no reliever has a chance to be first ballot because he's considered the best all-time closer. If he's not a first ballot, then, I mean, who is as a reliever? I mean, there's no one else.
Do you think after if Mariano Rivera, imagine if he were to get on the ballot, he gets selected in the first pick to get into the Hall of Fame, would that open the door up for Trevor Hoffman maybe to get in a couple years later down the line? I mean, he's still known, but not too popular. You know what he's popular for? And we all know that he's popular for his intro. He's the one that started all these intros that have been seen on YouTube from different closers.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about you, fucking Brian Wilson, you piece of shit. Fuck. That guy, you know, and I even heard for a couple buddies of mine that this dude's a jackass, man, Brian Wilson. And then we even discussed this about a couple months ago with Heath Bell.
Oh, Heath Bell.
In the All-Star game that, you know, Heath Bell, our big closer when he was on the Padres, now he's on the Marlins. But he was, you know, he's really popular, he was a big fat dude, and you know, his intro music was a 300 theme.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny. And he would sprint fast all the way down to the pitcher's mound. And it's like a big-ass dude. It's like, what? What's happening, dude? Is there fire? Is there a free buffet in the pitcher's mound? Or?
Yeah.
But what happened at the All-Star game? Did you remember that one? Or I think that was our buddy Kurt.
Heath Bell, I mean, he did that same intro that he's talking about where he sprints in. He came in sprinting, and then he got kind of
cocky,
you know, made fun of because as soon as he started throwing his warm-up pitches, you could tell he was out of breath, and he was kind of people were kind of like joking around about that, how, you know, he ran in, and it's popular in San Diego, but because it was an All-Star game, it was national exposure, and not a lot of people had seen him do that before, and thought that was pretty goofy and funny, and he was out of breath. And he ended up pitching pretty good, so, you know, he didn't, you know, they didn't make too much fun of him. But People thought that was funny.
So I guess it was Kurt then that told us. My buddy Kurt, he was basically saying that he actually got to meet Heath Bell at one of the golf tournaments.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he actually got to meet him and talk to him a little bit. He's like, dude, Heath Bell is a really down-to-earth, cool dude. He's just funny.
Oh, yeah.
And then they went to a banquet dinner after, and Kurt was there too, and he was talking to him. He's like, man, Heath Bell is really cool. I even asked him, he said, about the All-Star game.
Yeah.
It's like, how'd you feel, man? Why'd you do that? And he said, basically, well, it was my first All-Star game. I was excited. And, you know, I'm excited being there. You know, it's an overall experience. And, you know, I got to meet everybody. I was shaking hands with every player, and I got to meet Brian Wilson.
Yeah.
The San Francisco Giants closer. And, you know, he has, at the time, he still has that beard.
Yeah, he's growing
that beard. And basically, he tried to meet us like, hey, man, congrats on making the team. And Brian Wilson said, I already know I'm on the team, dude. So then basically the reason behind that slide was because he told Kurt, he's like, you know what, after he said that shit, I was like, this guy is a punk ass, dude.
Yeah.
He's a snobby ass punk fucking closer. He thinks he's better. He's like, you know what? I want to show up this guy, because Brian Wilson was also on that All-Star team.
Yeah.
So that's why when he ran out, which is why he was out of breath, he went all out in that sprint. That was for the gold.
Yeah.
The gold. He ran out there and then he slid.
Yeah.
I remember when he slid into the mound, he made all everybody laugh on the infield. I think even the catcher was like, what the fuck, dude? Because Yadier Molina was on the team. He's like, what the hell are you doing, man?
Yeah.
And then he did that just to literally piss off Brian Wilson. Oh, I thought that was funny. Really cool, man.
That's pretty cool. I've seen Brian Wilson on some talk shows. I think he was on like Jimmy Fallon or one of those late night shows. And he's a character. Apparently, San Francisco, they attract those kind of offbeat, not necessarily hippie, but kind of like, you know, just leftist kind of characters. I don't know. He definitely has a different sense of humor, that alternative, dry comedy, dry sense of humor kind of thing. And yeah. He can come off as a dick, dude. I can see how that could be.
I'm not gonna hate. I mean, you know, he is a Giants player, so I have to hate you, dude. You're like our fucking rivals. But yeah. On top of that, I mean, his acting in his Taco Bell commercial is kind of funny. You know, I'll give him that. He's a good actor. He knows how to work the camera, I think. But
yeah.
As far as hearing that he's a dick, I'm not really surprised at all. I bet you Mariano Rivera is probably a cool dude, though.
Oh, yeah.
I probably want to eat, like, some empanadas with that guy and some tacos.
Empanadas, yeah.
Take him around some taco shops around here, man.
From what I hear, he doesn't really like being in the spotlight. He's kind of like behind. He just wants to stay behind the scenes and not get too much of the limelight on him. And that's actually pretty cool. I like those kind of guys that are just, like, down to earth and, you know, don't make a big deal about anything. But yeah, like from your first question, I think Mariano Rivera, he's a first ballot. Trevor Hoffman, you know, I have a biased opinion being a Padre fan, but if not a first ballot, you know, I think he is. If not, at least, you know, second year.
Second year.
He should be in. Because especially now, those relievers now are a lot more like vital to the game than it was in the past. I mean, you can't ignore that. There's a lot of writers, old-time writers out there that just won't even include relievers on their ballot. But nowadays, you have to. It's just, I mean, you don't see too many complete games. You see starting pitchers just go six innings. The relievers are way more vital to the game now. You have to include him in the, you know, the ballots. Trevor Hoffman, I don't know for how much it's worth, but he's the first to get to 500 saves, 600 saves. I don't know about 500, but 600 for sure.
Can't believe he was a shortstop.
Yeah.
For the Marlins, man, back in the day.
Yeah.
And he converted to a pitcher. That was pretty awesome, man.
Yeah.
But our next subject now was, before we had a break, we're going to talk about a little overview of what happened at the past UFC pay-per-view battle. Well, I was at Wet Willie's for that one, obviously. And, you know, it took some nice, strong call the cab daiquiris over there. And I know it's a fruity drink, F you guys, but hey. They don't have, like, harsh liquor drinks, so you get what you get. I was there. Yeah. I got to see three fights, you know, Kung Lee versus Patrick Cote. That was actually a surprising fight, in my opinion, because Kung Lee is not really, like, a very dominating guy. he's popular, yeah, obviously, from Strikeforce, but he put on a good show. I think that was the most, like, fight I was surprised at out of all of them, because the fact that he came out pretty hard, and Cote's a good fighter, and he was pretty putting the hurt on him. He messed up Cote's face a couple times, and he wasn't tired for once. Kung Lee, the past few fights, he's been tired, and he's been worn down. That's his downfall, usually, in all the fights. And he kind of made up for that one in this past fight. And then this one, the next one, the Forrest Griffin versus Tito Ortiz. Fuck, man.
You know,
that was a big letdown for me, dude.
Yeah. I guess it's good that at least they didn't put Tito Ortiz for his last fight against, like, a young, up-and-coming fighter. And that put him in against Griffin, who's kind of like a little older, in the same boat as Ortiz. It's practically evenly matched, and they play it out even. It was a close fight. I actually didn't watch the fight live. I ended up doing the after YouTube videos and just watching highlights and kind of reading comments about the fights. But from what I've seen, it was a close fight. Some people thought Ortiz did enough to win. It was good that they put him in. That was going to be a competitive fight. It wasn't just going to be lopsided. So that was good. And hopefully Ortiz actually does retire, because he's an old fuck, dude.
Yeah, I give him props. I mean, he did solidify, you know, the popularity of UFC. He made it popular by him being cocky and, you know, doing all the celebrity stuff, like dating porn star Jenna Jameson and beating her up and getting domestic violence. You fucking asshole. It's like everybody else said. But you know what, man? Overall, I think he did what he did for the UFC. I gave him props. I don't like the guy because he's too cocky. That's just my own biased opinion. But that fight, I really thought Forrest Griffin was just going to, like, manhandle him and beat the shit out of him, like, striking, though, wise. Not even taking down, just striking him.
Yeah.
And Tito Ortiz, actually, Forrest Griffin looked kind of slow out there with his punches, because Tito Ortiz was blocking him, and he got nailed a couple times, but not as much as I thought he was going to get nailed. And then right when Tito took him down, I was like, are you fucking kidding me? You let this old... I mean, Forrest Griffin's in his 30s too, but...
Yeah.
He's still younger, and he went against... was it Rampage? And he was able to defend his takedown. And Rampage is a strong guy. Yeah. He's stronger than Tito.
But that definitely is true.
That was a big letdown. He got takedown, and he was basically on the ground the whole time, and I was like, oh shit, this can go either way. But when he came to the card, when I was watching, all the striking, the punches, it was going all Forrest Griffin all the way, because Tito's just a ground and pound guy, and that's about it.
Well, yeah, you're right. You know, Rampage is probably stronger, but, you know, Ortiz, I would say he's underrated for his technique. I mean, he's experienced, and he actually has pretty good technique, and sometimes that kind of... is better than just having strength.
That's true, man. I give you that.
And so, yeah, it probably was surprising, but, you know, that's how he made his name, by doing the ground and pound and taking down. So he probably figured he just had to play to his strengths of taking down, doing the ground and pound. And so, you know, it was a good game plan to rely on what you do best. And even if Griffin is probably stronger than you were, Ortiz probably figured, he says, this is what I do, this is what I need to do to win. And you know, I'm glad that it's competitive. I don't hate the guy, because I like that, you know, there's West Coast fighters that do well and get popular.
I totally agree with that one.
The cockiness,
it's from California.
Yeah. The cockiness, I guess I can do without, but I can see how in the MMA testosterone filled kind of world, that how that can play out and, you know, make you popular and get fans. So I'm not a big fan of Ortiz, but, you know, I kind of like that that he's from the West Coast, and he was one of the guys that got it started. And I wouldn't say he put MMA on the map. I think even without him, MMA, UFC would have grown and been popular anyways, but he definitely helped out.
Well, you can also say too that Forrest Griffin kind of also put UFC on the map. Remember a couple years ago, did you watch the first free UFC fight on Spike TV?
You know what?
Well, it was Forrest Griffin as the main event.
I haven't seen it. I didn't see it yet,
dude. That one, that's what solidified, I think. That's a fucking mosquito in here.
UFC.
But definitely, it was Forrest Griffin versus Stephen Bonner, if you remember that name.
Yeah, I know Stephen
Bonner. And then that fight was the first live UFC fight on Spike TV or cable television, period. Yeah. And then, you know, all the undercard fights were whatevers, but when that fight came on and I was watching with my dad that fight in the den, we're watching it, and the first three rounds, they were just swinging. It was just a slugfest, and that's kind of what you wanted because it wasn't more of like a takedown, ground boring. It was striking. It was consistently Forrest hitting Bonner in the face. Bonner was connecting with the uppercut. Griffin, yeah, blood was flying everywhere. These dudes were tired, but they were just swinging consistently. And it went three rounds, and then even the crowd was wild. I think I haven't heard a crowd like that in a while still, where it just got to a point where it was just, you don't even care who wins. When you see fights like that, you get amped up because it is a fight. You know, it's it's like a gladiator thing. You get excited, the testosterone's pumping, and that fight was blood everywhere, sweat. It was just crazy. And then I remember the fight, it came to a point, and then even Dana White, because the winner gets a contract, Griffin ended up winning, but it was just one of those fights where you clapped for both of the guys. Bonner put his ass out there, and even Bonner got a contract because of that. That was pretty cool. They both got contracts, but after that, you know, obviously Bonner got caught with some enhancements, and his career kind of fell off. Whereas Griffin actually won the belt and moved on. But then we kind of get into the main event now of this past UFC fight with Griffin, because all right, Griffin won it. All right. Before I get into the main event real quick, I just want to note that at the end of the fight, Griffin thought he was going to lose against Ortiz because he did the same shit that he did against Anderson Silva when Anderson Silva kicked the shit out of Forrest Griffin, dude. Yeah. And that's when he just walked away from the arena and didn't even do the interview, with Joe Rogan. He just walked away and everyone was calling him, "You're a bitch, you know, a pussy, you know, you should man up." I mean, he did, but at the same time, remember, Tito Ortiz got fucked up by Liddell, yet he stayed after the fights and did the interview.
Yeah.
So that's where I kind of put, you know, Tito Ortiz at least has class. Yeah. He does stay after. He might be cocky, but he does do the whole thing. Whereas Griffin left, and he did the same shit again.
Yeah.
Right when the fight ended, he walked out of the octagon, and everyone was like, dude, he's leaving again?
Yeah.
Boo started raining down on the guy, and I was getting pissed. Everyone was getting mad, and then all of a sudden, I think somebody told him that he won. So he came back into the ring, octagon. He came back into the octagon, and, you know, he's all happy. And all of a sudden, you know, Joe Rogan's going to do the interview, and fucking Forrest Griffin grabs a microphone, and he interviews Tito Ortiz.
Yeah.
And I was like, this fucking guy, you're just a chump now, dude. Like, I respect you as a fighter, but I don't like you now, dude. Like, after you keep walking away, like, where's the class at, man?
Yeah, it's definitely childish by doing that. And
you're not 20, dude. Not 23.
I wouldn't say he's not mentally tough, but yeah, he's definitely childish. And I mean, I don't have like a strong opinion about that, but yeah, it was kind of nutty that he was doing that same thing and he came back. And again, I didn't watch it, but my buddies told me also that Griffin was doing the interview and he was kind of joking around, and I think he was kind of like asking Ortiz if he actually was going to retire and if it really was his last fight, and kind of teasing him about that. But yeah, I guess it was kind of interesting about that. But yeah, he kind of did come off as a bitch by doing that again.
All right, so Kung Lee won by decision, Griffin won by decision. Now the main event, Anderson Silva versus Chael Sonnen. Man, this was I was pretty excited about the fight, you know, coming in a Saturday, because these past UFC pay-per-views have been, they don't have the best cards anymore because a lot of the champions are hurt. You know, GSP's hurt, Jose Aldo's hurt, and then the heavyweight, Junior Dos Santos, he's kind of injured. At the same time, he doesn't have an opponent yet. They were talking about Cain Velasquez, so it's kind of exciting to have a good one now. And man, the first round did not disappoint at all, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, it was amped. You just tell by the crowd, and once that bell rung or the fight, it was on, dude. And what did Sonnen do? He came out like a fucking madman.
Yeah. From what I've been reading up prior to the fight, I kind of expected Sonnen kind of do the same game plan from the first fight and just do the the ground and pound, like do takedowns, because Silva, obviously, he's a beast with the stand-up game, and I mean, he's well-rounded, but Sonnen's probably figured his chance was to just, like, same as the first one, just kind of out-muscle him, take him down, you know, keep Silva away from being able to do his stand-up striking. But yeah, from what I've read, Sonnen just kind of maybe just came out too strong, I guess, too fast, and tired himself out. You know, the first fight, obviously Sonnen was dominating, you know, and then yeah. Silva comes up with that, you know, submission at the end, the last round, with like 2 minutes to go. And
that was insane, dude. That match was.
Yeah, but from what I remember, Silva, I guess, had that hip injury, and then Sonnen
took advantage.
Came up, that he came up hot for some kind of substance abuse or some kind of
he did get caught. Yeah,
yeah. And so so now it was supposedly even. Silva was healthy, and Sonnen hopefully was not, you know, juicing up or something.
He was. That shit wasn't working.
Yeah, and so now that it was even, most people figure Silva would probably not have that much trouble this time, or at least if he did, he'd be able to figure it out a lot easier. And it played out exactly how a lot of people were thinking, that a healthy Silva was able to, you know, kind of just let Sonnen tire out and then just strike. But, you know, from watching the highlights, it was just a weird ending. The way Sonnen fell, and then Silva took advantage, but Sonnen was able to get up, and then he got caught, and then it was over. But that ending was bizarre.
It's crazy because, well, for the people that didn't watch it, it ended up being Anderson Silva winning by TKO in the second round, and I actually watched the fight live, so it was kind of weird to get your impression of it from my perspective, because when I watched the whole fight, Sonnen was just using, like, if you're playing a video game and you're playing the UFC game, you get tired when you're swinging so yeah. much, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's what it reminded me of, because Sonnen just came out and used all of his energy, like, he just used everything he could to take him down, just pound the shit out of him, just keep him on the floor, didn't even want to let him get up. And you could just tell right when the first round ended, he was sitting down and he was breathing hard, where Silva was just like chilling. He was just breathing normal, you know. Sonnen looked kind of tired. So when that second round came out, I was like, oh, dude, he doesn't look like himself. And he wasn't. He was kind of like jogging or dancing around a little bit. Didn't come after Silva right away again. And then Silva noticed that and he started striking him now.
Yeah.
I think the first round, Silva probably let him have his energy, use it up. And Silva was like, all right, it's my turn. Because he connected with a couple hits on Sonnen, and then he kind of got dazed a little bit. I don't think the punches were that strong, because he did get knocked, and he backed off a little bit. But to a point, he didn't, like, wobble, you know, he wasn't, like, worried. But right when he did that backhand, and he missed, you can just tell the backhand itself was a lazy one, dude. Like, he just, like, he was just brushing flies away or something. Because when he did that, he just fell over, and he fell. You could just see his face, like, when he fell down. From my perspective on watching it live, that's what I thought was when he missed, he just, like, was gassed out. Because Silva looked at him right after he missed the phone. Silva's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
He's like, that's it?
Yeah.
He's like, all right. And then he just started welling on him, and then the match was called, and
you know,
Silva retains the belt.
I wonder if Sonnen, after all, because he's a crazy shit talker, dude. He just rub Silva the wrong way, because Silva actually, you know, talked back this time. He had that infamous, you know, shoulder check at the weigh-in, and
yeah, I would think that was a hype to fight too.
Yeah, you know, obviously it was to hype the fight, but Sonnen, he's been known as a shit talker, but maybe he kind of felt obligated to, like, live up to his shit talking, because yeah, like you said, he did come out blazing that first round, and he, if you just look at the highlights and don't realize that Sonnen came out kind of fast that first round, it looks like Sonnen was just like, I don't know, he was confused, or he was dizzy, or it was, because when he did that backspin fist punch, that, I mean, that just looked bizarre, the way he just missed and fell down. And if you didn't know that he was tired by that point, it just adds to how bizarre it was. But now, knowing that he probably was tired and he probably was exhausted, it makes more sense that he would just fall and, you know, be off balance from that. And Silva took advantage, man. I mean, props to him.
And that's why it didn't really surprise me when you were saying to me earlier before the broadcast that you know, that it looked like it was rigged. Because, you know how highlights kind of do that. They kind of just get to the main point. They leave out all the good stuff. And
yeah,
that's why sometimes it's better to watch a fight, guys. Yeah. Stream it live if you can, if I were you, you know. But or go to a place that shows at a bar, man. A lot of places nowadays, they stream a fight. But, yeah, dude, like, I kind of didn't get the idea, but it's kind of interesting to hear that maybe, you know, they...
Yeah, that, I guess highlights can be taken out of context in a way, in that you don't see the full fight, how it played out, and you just see the final events of the fight. But, you know, then also I like to read the commentary from the fans on those YouTube pages. And that was one of the main consensus was like, oh, man, that looked like a WWE fixed fight. The way that ended, because it, you know, that highlight out of context, if you didn't realize that Sonnen probably tired himself out, he was exhausted, it looked like a bizarre ending. And just from that highlight alone, at first it does seem like it was a fast stoppage, like the ref didn't give Sonnen that much time to recover. But, you know, as you go back and look at it, Sonnen was out, dude. He was done. It didn't look like he had anything left.
Yeah, man, definitely. Well, we're going to take a break, man. Maybe grab a couple beers, and we'll be right back with some Charger talk. We'll do a little San Diego Charger talk and a little bit of the upcoming NCAA football. Kind of excited. Right. Maybe a little Aztec in there, too. A little Aztec basketball, too.
Oh, hell yeah, man.
All right, guys, we'll be right back. We're back again from a little break. We got 15 minutes.
Yeah.
15 minute limit here due to our financial funding here, which is our own money.
Yeah.
But
we'll see if we can get some sponsorship down the road.
Yeah, hopefully. Maybe buy some hookah stuff or something.
Yeah.
Because I am consistently smoking that, and we are both smoking that. But yeah. Here's your beer.
All right, cool. Might as well down it, I guess.
Yeah,
we got some Cocoa Brown.
We got some courtesy beer from the garage. Some Cocoa Brown Ale from Kona Brewing Company. Cheers, you guys.
Cheers. This is really good. So we're doing college football.
Do college football, a little college football talk.
Yeah, you know, honestly,
let's keep it. You want to keep it in Mountain West right now, so we don't want to go broad.
I haven't done a whole lot of research on my national college football. I do a little bit of just pretty much San Diego State Aztecs and Mountain West. But I guess talk about the recruiting season. We're talking earlier about how USC is looking like they're poised for big season. They've had some great recruits.
The suspension is lifted now. So basically UFC is back, or UFC. I'm on the UFC.
Yeah, I know.
UFC is back right now, and
UFC football.
I was telling you earlier too, I think they're going to, those recruits that Oregon would usually get, and which is the reason why they won the national, no, they were short of the national championship that year, but they've gotten all these recruits just because USC has been obsolete. They couldn't really recruit players. They weren't going to be able to play in a bowl. That loses a lot of interest from players coming out of high school. I wouldn't want to play for them, and if I'm not going to make it to a bowl, I could play for Oregon. Sure, why not? Oregon's good too.
Yeah.
But now USC's back. That's going to, I think, hinder Oregon's recruiting trail now.
Yeah. You know, the thing with Oregon, they have that different offense that they really don't need to recruit the highest rated players. Their offense is just like so different. They can be pretty good with whoever they have. But yeah, USC, they definitely have that pro style, style of play, and those great recruits are going to help them out a lot.
I definitely agree with the top three rankings from College Football Athlete. If anything, maybe you might want to reorder the top three, but top three, you have number one USC, number two Alabama, number three Oregon. I definitely can see those three teams in the top three. If maybe, it's actually LSU.
LSU is two.
Excuse me. LSU, you probably can reorder those then in any way. Definitely USC is going to be in the top three regardless.
Alabama's going to be a beast again.
They're always beast mode every year.
You know, and I follow more of the San Diego State side of it. And from what I've heard, their coach, Rocking Long, he emphasized the line this time. Like San Diego State is traditionally a smaller team, but they're supposed to be a lot bigger. They want to try to compete now that they're going to be in the Big East. So they want to get some big size guys. So they got a big O-line this year, a bigger defensive line. But that's what the big boys in the Division I football, they have those big guys up front in the trenches, and so that's what San Diego State's trying to do now. Even though their guys weren't highly rated, they're still big guys and they can still be trained up.
Yeah, the Mountain West this year is going to be, I think, in my opinion, the last year that this conference is going to be like any kind of interest from BC outside or in the BCS talk, because you're going to have Boise State leaving, which is, you know, TCU and Boise last year, dude, that was awesome because you have two top teams that are always going to be in the top 25.
Yeah.
And they're both really good. And even that game last year between them and Boise, that was a hell of a game. But kicker, of course, missed another field goal.
Yeah.
But
I was going to say, I think it's because of all these teams leaving the Mountain West, they're going to dissolve and they're going to try to make a super conference with the remaining Mountain West teams. I think they want to join up with like Conference USA and maybe one other conference. And they might keep some of the same leadership from the Mountain West, but they'll have a different name.
But it sucks too, because in the Conference USA, you're like, all right, we're going to merge with them. But when the Big East came and took a scoopful of teams, they took Boise, they're taking San Diego State. And from the Conference USA, they're going to take UCF, which is the top three in the Conference USA. They're taking Houston. They're taking a lot of the teams from the conference and the Mountain. So basically, they're taking the top teams from those conferences and just we're going to add them into the Big East. And now those conferences are going to lack any kind of prestigious programs.
What I
at least in football, by the way. Football. We're talking football here right now.
What I just hated about the Mountain West was their television contracts were horrible.
The fuck made that idea? I know that really pissed me off, because these past years, if they had a contract with ESPN, they would have got so much exposure. And I've even seen the Mountain West Conference or the Mountain West television. It's boring.
It's boring.
You have a bunch of these people that are just, well, obviously they're either veterans, but sports veteran. But I didn't.
It's not
no
just
interest.
That.
It's just boring. The content. There was no excitement.
And it was hard to find TV. Like, you had to like really investigate where you could watch their games. And you know, that was sad, because Mountain West was having some really great football, some great basketball, and it was like difficult to find those TV channels to watch those games. And so, you know, whoever made those contracts or whoever made the decision to just do their own network and just limit their exposure, if it had taken off, it would have been great, but they had to realize they were smaller market teams, some of their teams were popular. They had to get on ESPN. Even if ESPN didn't pay that much, they had to get on ESPN.
Hey, Boise took advantage of that when they were in the WAC.
Yeah.
They got a lot of exposure during the week. They would be the only team that wanted to play on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Friday nights. But now we're looking at the conference right now, Mountain West real quick. And yeah, Boise, number one. I agree with that. Number two, Nevada. Nope, I agree with that too. Number three, Fresno State. Not really. I think they're an okay team, but you're not really going to argue with the top four. It's Boise, Nevada, Fresno, and Wyoming. And Wyoming, I watched them last year. They're actually a really good team. They're bringing all their players back. That quarterback was a freshman. And it's funny because he was the leading rusher of that team.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad when your quarterback's a rusher. But, you know, overall, I think it's going to be an interesting year. Last year, the SDSU, San Diego State, and Boise will be in the conference. It'll be a nice thing for Boise to win that title before they head out to the Big East, because they missed it last year with TCU taking that with them to the Big 12. But now, let's cut over to basketball real quick.
Yeah, basketball is the big event now in the Mountain West.
Dude, that's the greatest show that's under the non-AQ, or in the non-AQ, in my opinion. It's funny because ESPN kind of considers them part of the power conferences, when they do the basketball rankings.
Oh, yeah.
But in, they deserve to be there. Yeah. But then, like, in the other, like, Yahoo Sports, they'll consider them as a non-AQ kind of conference, and they're always number one. But I like how they kind of got respect from ESPN. They weren't put as a non-AQ. They were kind of put with the top teams. Because that conference, dude, you had UNLV basketball. You had New Mexico. Yeah. You had San Diego State. I mean, these programs, UNLV, they won the title, so they're known. New Mexico always has good basketball. Yeah. SDSU, Steve Fisher revamped that program.
Oh man. He did a great job, yeah. And, well, they recently had a little bit of controversy with their top recruit got caught with marijuana.
Yeah. But you know what? That's just a first-time offense. Let's hope it doesn't happen again there. Winston Shepherd, if you're listening.
Yeah.
Do that, man. If you're going to do it on the side, man.
But, yeah. You know,
why don't you share some of that dank next time, you
asshole.
Don't get
caught, man. I mean, really, just do it in your own private, you know, quarters. Don't do it out in public. Don't travel with it, you know.
Shout out to Colorado State, too. They're also a good program in basketball.
Yeah.
But Winston Shepherd, you're the biggest recruit we have, and you just had to get caught with marijuana. But it's cool because I really didn't see that on ESPN, but it was on the Union Tribune.
Yeah, the local newspaper.
And let's hope it doesn't happen again. You're a freshman. Let's get it out of the way. You're a party guy. Yeah, we all get that.
And San Diego is one of those things because we're used to having, like, players that get caught and get busted, you know. We're used to, professional teams especially, they draft players that seem to be bust. You know, Matt Bush, Ryan Leaf, you got that guy, Donovan Tate from the Padres, who got caught with some kind of synthetic weed. And so when, you know, San Diego State's top recruit gets caught with something, it's like, oh, here we go again. You know, we got another one of these guys.
Dude, what dispensary is going to, man?
Yeah.
They're still open down here?
Yeah.
But wow, dude, San Diego State, they're going to... Obviously, them and Boise, this is the last year in their basketball conference in the Mountain West. It's going to be another great year in the Mountain West. UNLV stocked up with a lot of five-star recruits. I think 2 five-star recruits, a couple 3-stars. San Diego State got its first 5-star recruit. And that's the cool thing about San Diego State, in our opinion, I'm sure you're going to agree, is that last year we were a shooting team. We were really small. Our best player was Jamal Franklin, who is a guard at 6'5". And now we got... all these dudes that we had 2 players already that were just sitting out for a year because they're transferring from, one's from Utah, one's from Virginia.
Yeah.
And we're going to have forwards now from that year that Kawhi Leonard, Malcolm Thomas. Yeah. Oh, man, we're going to have big dudes now that actually can help out the guards.
Oh, yeah.
So now Jamal Franklin won't have to do everything. He's just going to be a part of that piece, that unit. And I think we're going to get into the top 15 this year, definitely.
Yeah, I remember reading reports that the practice team or during practice, the team that was on the bench sitting down, that was a team that was actually better than the starting team, but they just couldn't play because they weren't eligible and they had to sit out a year. But yeah, that team now is going to be the starting team, and it's supposed to be better than last year. Last year was one of the best years that San Diego State has had, and a lot of it was Jamal Franklin's crazy clutch play, and hopefully he continues to grow. And if he does, I mean, San Diego State is poised for like a big, big, big year. And hopefully, if they do make it to the NCAA tournament, they don't disappoint and they actually make it to at least the Sweet 16.
I think they can do it, Sweet 16.
Yeah,
I'm calling it right now.
It would be a disappointment if they didn't do the Sweet 16 this year because they really are poised for a big year. And, you know, I can't wait for the season to start, man. I actually want to go to a few games this year.
Yeah, dude, you better find some scalpers because people are already – that's the hottest ticket in San Diego because of the Padres and Chargers are not doing so well. So our basketball has been – skyrocketing since we lost the Clippers to LA. It's gonna be really fun to watch. I went to 2 games last year. That UNLV game, best game I've ever seen, obviously, with the late layup by Jamal Franklin. And I went to that Colorado State, the season ending. It's really fun to be there at the Cox or Viejas Arena. The crowd's insane. The show's awesome. They make me laugh the whole time. Feels like I'm at a soccer game.
Yeah.
Not just chance. People dress up as Mormons when we play BYU. I love it. But, you know, we take it to another level. If you got to be there to hear what they say, I'm pretty sure they bleep it out of the TV.
Yeah. Yeah, San Diego, man. They deserve at least one winning team. And San Diego State seems to be that team. And you know, they have a lot of support, and San Diego has been craving a team to get excited about, and that's the hottest ticket right now in San Diego.
I'm really worried when they go to the Big West, because that's cool, they're going to go to the Big West, save them money, and they're going to get a lot of money returned from the football program, and on top of that, they're going to be able to play against, I think, 3 Big East teams every year as part of a deal with the Big East.
Right, right.
So in this upcoming year, I work there. I work at the USS Midway carrier as a bartender, banquet bartender, and they're going to have a game on the USS Midway naval carrier.
Oh, they actually finalized the deal?
Yep. Last year, it was supposed to happen. Hey, I realized. Last year, it was supposed to be on the Midway originally because from work, I heard about it. We got a lot of letters or a lot of emails that the game was going to go down. They were learning how they're going to set it up, and Obama was going to be there. And then the U.S. Carl, right? The USS Carl that took down Osama?
Oh, yeah.
That the reason why they switched over to that carrier was because it was patriotic. Yeah. It symbolized a takedown. So that matchup from Michigan State and North Carolina moved from the USS Midway to the USS Carl.
Yeah.
So I was kind of pissed. But hey, I mean, you want to capitalize on that. It's pretty good. I mean, yeah. It was, and don't get me wrong, any game on a naval carrier is awesome.
Yeah.
I love it, dude.
That was a pretty cool idea. I mean, yeah, anytime you can put a spotlight on, you know, some kind of patriotic, you know, event, you know, showcase that, and great basketball to go along with it. I mean, that was a great idea. It was made a lot of money, I'm sure. And got a lot of national exposure, but San Diego State, hopefully they get to be part of it next year. I wasn't aware that they actually, because last I heard, they still weren't sure about the scheduling. They still weren't sure if they were able to get a team. So that's news to me. I didn't know they finalized the deal for
It's because Syracuse, when they agreed to the game on the USS Midway, they didn't know who their opponents were yet, and then they thought it was going to be, you know, a decent team, whatever, you know, cool. Yeah. But then they found out it was State, and I mean, State's not no one to be feared of, especially if you're Syracuse. Obviously, you know, you got that tradition, you got the 5-star recruits, no matter what. But they're kind of, the coach is like, I'm kind of worried because it is like the first 3 games. They're trying to like schedule that game at least the first one of the first 3 games of the season, upcoming season. They kind of didn't want to do that because that's when they're still going to learn. Syracuse players are still learning the system, just as San Diego State. So the matchup can kind of be even in a way for both teams.
Yeah.
Especially with the newcomers on San Diego State that are going to be starting.
Yeah. You know, San Diego State, I'm pretty sure they'll be ranked somewhere in the top 25 to start off the season because they did well last year. They're supposed to be improved. And so even if they're not, I mean, they're going to be a good team. They have a great chance against Syracuse. You know, I don't know. Locally, we know how good Steve Fisher is as a coach, but nationally, I don't know if he still has that same prestige and trust. I remember during the tournament last year, there was a lot of announcers on ESPN that were saying they didn't trust Steve Fisher's game planning. And they turned out to be right because San Diego ended up losing. But
we kind of knew, though, deep down. Come on, I mean. We didn't have, like, any kind of forward, really. And yeah. North Carolina State, after they won, well, they lost in the ACC championship, or they won it.
Yeah.
And after watching that game, I was like, fuck, we're playing them?
Yeah.
They're just going to outsize us, dude. And they got the speed to match with it. So there's no way that our guards are going to keep up unless they shoot on point, which is obviously
they didn't have a great shooting game.
It was pretty horrible.
Yeah. So, yeah, San Diego State will have the big man, so they'll have a higher you know, percentage in terms of, you know, field goal shooting. So it should be a well-matched game. If it's Syracuse-San Diego State, that's going to be a great game. I can't wait for that.
I hope I can get some tickets from work or sneak into that game, or maybe I'm going to be bartending for that game.
Yeah. And oh, wow.
Maybe I can give a drink to good old Obama. Hopefully he's a good tipper, not a jackass. Not tip me.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised, man. People don't tip.
Yeah.
Because they're famous. They try to get away with it. So all you hospitality workers, watch out. Be nice, but don't expect it. Just saying. I don't want to say any names and get in trouble here.
Yeah.
Something with a GB, with a bush that rhymes with. Yeah. Just keep it there. That definitely is going to be upcoming. I can't wait. And I think this is all the time we have. I think it is for right now.
Yeah. We had a good first podcast. We're gonna try to do this a lot more often, at least once a week, hopefully.
Once a week, two times a week, whenever we can, because we both got different schedules and we're not getting paid for this. This is for it's for you guys and us, just messing around. We're drinking some beer, smoking hookah, and just talking about San Diego sports and a little bit of all around sports. You know, on top of that.
Yeah.
Don't expect hockey though. I'm not a hockey fan.
Hockey.
I'm not. I'm sorry. No. San Diego Goals are not here anymore.
Yeah, you know, we should probably at least do some kind of research because, you know, first time ever, LA Kings, they win it. And
nobody notices in LA.
They bring some respect out to the West Coast, so that's I'm always happy about that.
I give them props, man. They were the eighth seed. Eighth seed winning the whole thing. And being from LA was actually pretty cool, and I went for them because we don't have a hockey team in San Diego. And
I mean, we have the minor league.
San Diego we have the Ducks, the mighty Ducks.
The Ducks.
But, you know, I really don't have a favorite hockey team, so I just go for any California team usually.
Yeah, that's true.
For the love. Because mainly hockey is an East Coast sport, like lacrosse.
Yeah, hockey, East Coast, Midwest, colder weather, Canada. Canada was upset, dude, that they weren't in the finals, I guess.
Oh, no, the Canadians take their hockey seriously. I met a couple, and I learned, you know, I was pretty, you know, American, full-headed here, and I was like, hockey? I'm like, hockey's gay. You know, that's, you know, saying that, there's like, what?
Yeah.
Because I was like, it's all about football, you know, I'm not going to say it's all about baseball. Baseball can be boring sometimes, but it's like football, man. Really? Football? And if anything, I'll go with soccer. Because soccer is pretty fun to watch. The people are crazy as hell.
Soccer's better live, though, like in person. On TV, I get, you know, soccer's great for me when it's more of a nationalistic thing. You're cheering on for the USA World Cup, you know. My family's Mexican, so I'll cheer on the Mexican team. My last name is Portugal, so I'll cheer on the Portugal team, even though Portugal is famous for just being for choking. You know, they have the best player in the world, and they have some famous players, but they choke whenever it comes to playing in the national, you know, or the world scene, the World Cup. They always choke.
Maybe he got that vacation he wanted, vacation money on the side, and you just don't know it.
Yeah, I know.
It's all right. He took his whole team out for losing it.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
Well, all right, guys. This is Paul and
Fernando here.
And we're signing. Thanks for listening, guys. And we're signing out of here from San Diego Sports Talk Radio, aka Sports Taco, Triple X Sports, San Diego. Let's get that little music here. Got the iPad. This is kind of new, so I'm kind of adjusting. let's cue the music here.
We'll get this all straightened out, fine tuned, and
we'll get it down. Just give us a chance, people. All right. Nobody's perfect except me when I'm drunk. All right, guys, thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.